Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week in Parshas Vayechi, we read from Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, Psukim Aleph to Yud Beis, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This HaVtorah marks the second time we focus on the end of King David's life and the transition of leadership to his son Shlomo. The previous Haftorah from Parshas Chayisara dealt with the end of Sarah's life and the passing of the leadership from Avraham to Yitzchak. Now, in Parshas Vayechi, we witness the passing of Yaakov, and much like Yaakov's final words to his children, David HaMelech also imparts his last will and testament to Shlomo. An additional connection to the Parsha can be found in the blessing given to Yehuda in Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yasor Shevet MiYehuda, the scepter shall not depart from Yehuda. This prophecy foretold that the kingdom would belong to this tribe forever. In our Haftorah, we see this prophecy come to fruition as David passes the scepter to Shlomo, and the final verse of the Haftorah confirms this, Ushlomo Yashav al kisei David Aviv Vatikon Malchuso Me'od. Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. What are the final words that David imparts to Shlomo, his son and heir? Not every parent has the wherewithal, the foreknowledge, or the opportunity to speak such a profound message at the end of their life. And the weight of this task is immense. To give your child your deepest convictions, your most sincere wishes for their future, where do you even begin? What is the most significant message to convey? Another perhaps troubling question to ponder is, does it help? Do these end-of-life words truly impact the choices of the listener? When we examine the words that David chooses, we find that it is actually a two-part message. The first part focuses on the life he hopes Shlomo will lead, and the second part addresses unfinished matters, things that David HaMelech asks Shlomo to complete. While the beginning of his speech is inspiring and soaring, the second part leaves us a little puzzled. Are these really David HaMelech's last words? This will be our journey this week, to try to understand the message behind the words and their meaning. So let's begin. In verse 1, Vayikrivu Yimei David Lamus, Vayitzav Eshlomo Beno Lemar. As the days of David approached to die, he commanded Shlomo his son, saying, verse 2, Anochi holeich bederach kol haaretz, vechazakta vahayisa li'ish. I am going in the way of all the land, and you be strong and be a man. And he tells him to guard the teachings of Hashem, to walk in his ways, to guard his laws, his mitzvos, his statutes and testimonies, as it says in the Torah of Moshe, so that you will be successful in all you do and in all your ways. Because Hashem made a promise to me that as long as you will do this, lo yichros lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael, none of your children will be cut off from the throne of Israel. So guard the Torah with your heart, your soul, your very life. These words he leads with, be strong and be a man. Musar HaNeviim, written by Rav Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, a Posek and Talmudic scholar in Russia and later Denver, Colorado in the early 20th century, connects this to Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, who is truly powerful? One who has conquered his own will, who is not triggered, is not reactive, but who chooses his life and his actions proactively, thoughtfully, who lives a nuanced and conscious life. The Musar HaNeviim then teaches that this indeed was the message of David to his young heir. You cannot be a king over anything until you learn to be a man, a strong man, a strong enough man to be king over yourself. And then comes part two. There are two people who will need to die and one family that must be rewarded. First, Yoav. David HaMelech reminds Shlomo, you know about Yoav. Truly a complicated relationship between David and Yoav. On the one hand, Yoav was David's right-hand man. But so many times he disappointed David, worked against him, even sabotaged him. He killed two great men who were at peace with David, who were serving David at the time. David HaMelech says Yoav is a murderer, and you will figure out a way to punish him. And then Barzillai HaGiladi. V'livnei Barzillai HaGiladi ta'asa chesed, v'hayu ba'ochlei shulchanecha, ki kein karvu elai bevarchi mepnei Avshalom achicha. To the children of Barzillai HaGiladi, do kindness. Let them eat at your table, for they befriended me when I was fleeing from your brother Avshalom. And when we look back to Shmuel Beis, where this story actually takes place, we see indeed Barzillai bringing food, couches, basins, earthenware, also wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils for David. And finally, Shimi ben Gera, the man from the family of Shaul who threw stones at me and cursed me as I was fleeing from your brother. He too will have to die. The words of David regarding Barzillai seems odd. It was definitely noble and gracious of Barzillai's family to provide food for David. But what was so powerful about their actions that they should be featured prominently in his last words to his son? Hosting guests at your table is one of the most common favors done for people, and one of the easiest. What did David HaMelech see in their conduct that warranted such a moving tribute? The answer is found in the second half of the pasuk. In verse 7, Ki kein karvu elai bevarchi mepnei Avshalom achicha, for they drew me close when I was escaping from your brother Avshalom. So many times, it's all about context, about the situation. When did they host me? When did they draw me close? When were they kind to me? As I was fleeing from your brother Avshalom, your brother, my own son. Almost certainly the most painful moments in David HaMelech's life, the unimaginable pain of knowing his own child, the child he loved, had turned against him so completely that he would kill him. David had been in mortal danger so many times, but never as tragically painful as this time. Perek Gimel in Tehillim that begins, Mizmor LeDavid Bevarcho Mipnei Avshalom Beno. This song of David as he was fleeing from before Avshalom, his child, his son. Hashem Marabu Tzarai Rabim Kamim Alai. Rabim Omrim L'Nafshi Ein Yeshua Sa Lo Belukim Salah. Hashem, how many are my enemies? So many rise up against me. So many say about my soul, there is no hope for salvation from God. So many, not only Shaul, Doeg, Avner, the army. Hashem, I'm running from my own child. Is there anything more painful in all the world? And it was in that painful moment that the family of Barzillai embraced him, cared for him, fed him with sensitivity, empathy, and compassion. And in that space, in that awful space of tragedy, of betrayal, it is possible that the gentle kindness of Barzillai restored David. The tremendous gratitude that David HaMelech still feels years later is certainly a reflection of David HaMelech's sterling and refined character, but it's also indicative of just how deeply they touched him during his darkest moments. Their kindness was not just a simple act of hospitality, it was a lifeline during a time of profound personal crisis. This act of compassion and support during such a painful period left an indelible mark on David, and he wanted to ensure that their kindness was remembered and honored by his son. With this context, we can better comprehend the severity with which David condemns the behavior of Shimei. Shimei was a Moed b'Malchus. He dared to curse the king in public. And it's not just that. At this lowest point in David HaMelech's life, when all the world seemed to be against him, when he was in the most need of a friendly face, a generous gesture of loyalty, Shimei decides to create a scene of humiliation for the downtrodden king. and in that became one of the many, Rabim Kamim Alai, those who rise up against me, and thus make perhaps the worst moment of David's life that much more agonizing. This understanding highlights not only the severity of Shimei's actions, but also the profound personal betrayal David experienced as Shimei's public cursing of the king during his time of greatest despair added a layer of humiliation that compounded the suffering of an already deeply wounded leader. It is in this context we can see the second part of David's last words with a deeper insight. Knowing what we do about the depth of Shimei's betrayal, how much it must have hurt David, one is struck by the fact that David waited until he was on his deathbed to order Shimei's punishment. Not in the moment when he was so deeply hurt, not when Avishai cried out for revenge and justice, not then at all. How much strength of character must it have taken David to not strike out at Shimei in his moment of pain? And it is precisely this lesson of gevurah, of mastering one's emotions in all circumstances, which David wishes to impart to his son. "You should kill Shimei," says David, "for it is his just punishment. But you must realize that I myself did not kill him, notwithstanding the horrific pain he caused me. This midah is a necessity for one who wishes to be a leader, to rule over men." This is the theme of David's words to his son, and it is a powerful lesson to all of us. By choosing not to act out of anger or vengeance, David demonstrated the power of controlling one's emotions and impulses, and this is the quality he urged Shlomo to embody as a leader. In fact, in each of the difficult acts of punishment and justice here that David asks Shlomo to complete, he uses language like Ve'asisa kechachmascha, you will act with your wisdom, and ki ish chachamata, you are a wise person. True strength lies not in exerting power over others, but in mastering oneself. This powerful example underscores the profound significance of his message to Shlomo, that the path to true leadership is paved with wisdom, restraint, self-control, and the ability to rise above. Let the Torah, the Chukim, Mishpatim, Eidos embody you. Let the Torah be your inner compass so that it becomes your deepest drive. Thank you for learning together.